Hallelujah. Well, obviously, Pastor Hagen is not here tonight. He's taken the opportunity to get away and get some extra. They were going to head out later, but it just worked out better for him to go right now. We got midterms this week at school, so he's not teaching the next couple of days, giving tests. And so they're getting some well-deserved rest, gearing up again, and praise the Lord for that. Amen? So we're going to, he asked me if I would fill his pulpit tonight. What an honor and privilege and great responsibility that is. And so we thank God for what God has in store for us tonight. Amen. All right, if you got your Bible, I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I want to talk about something that we talk about quite a bit around here, because Pastor has, you know, made the statement concerning that all of us are called to the ministry. And, of course, has a great book out there on the very subject, that every one of us. But I want us to look at the subject tonight of the calling and look at it from maybe a little bit different angles, but not anything new, but just something that's been on my heart. And I really enjoy teaching on this subject. It's one of my favorite things to do, because it, to me, every Christian, everyone that calls on the name of the Lord ought to know that they have a calling on their life, what that is. Amen. And the importance of that and the weight of that and the privilege of that. And so tonight we want to look at a few things. But let's start here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, if you would please. I'm going to be reading here from the King James. And, of course, you know, if you know me, I might take a few ye's and they's and that kind of thing out, okay? Ye's and these, I guess. Verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, or ask you with passion, that you would walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. Now, in verse 1, the King James says, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called. The word translated vocation is of the same Greek word family that the word calling comes from. Many newer translations do say, walk worthy of the calling with which you are called. All right? I know we wanted to say vacation there. Every time I read that, I wanted to say it hasn't changed in 38 years. It still says that I've been looking at it. Still says vocation. But we are to walk worthy of the vocation or the calling wherewith you are called. Now, this book of Ephesians is not written to preachers. It's not written to just those who are going to be in the pulpit or those that we would call full-time. It's written to all the Bible says in the very first, Paul said, to the saints and to the faithful. To the saints and to the faithful. Well, he's talking about you. And when you want to get right down to it, all of us are called to be full-time Christians. Amen? You want a full-time call? There you go. You're called to full-time be a Christian. And so he says here that we would walk worthy of the vocation or the calling wherewith we are called. Now, what is a calling? What is a calling? Listen to the Amplified Bible here in verse 1. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, appeal to you and beg you to walk or lead a life worthy of the divine calling to which you have been called, with behavior that is credit to the summons to God's service. The summons. So a calling from God is a divine summons. All right? We might think of it this way. You know, somebody, you've been summoned to come stand before the king. Well, it's an invitation in a sense, but there's no way out of it. Right? Well, when God has called us, he has summoned us to participate and with him. He's got a purpose for it. He has called us. There's a purpose behind it. He's called you. He has a purpose. We're going to see that here in a minute. But he has a purpose for your life. He has a purpose for my life. We have been summoned. We've been given a divine invitation from God. And there's no way out of it. We're not going to read it, but you know, in Romans there, in chapter 11, it says, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. What does that mean? God's not taking it back. And we will all stand before him someday. and give account of what we've done in this body with what he has called us to do. Now, you're already in heaven, so don't, you know. But that doesn't mean it's any less important that we fulfill and do what God's called us to do and be about what God's called us to do. Amen? It is very important. Now, he said here, down in verse number 4, he said, as you are called in one hope of your calling. One hope of your calling. So our first point tonight is this calling has a hope. The hope of your calling. A hope of divine. And that tells me this. Hope speaks of the future. In other words, there is something that is planned. If you look up the word hope there from the way it was used in the language of the original text in the Greek, it means an expectation. It means to expect something and to anticipate it with joy. There's the aspect of joy about it. Why? Because this is something good. The hope, the expectation, the confident expectation. That's what Bible hope is. Bible hope's not wish. Well, we've kind of said, we use it that way. Sometimes we use the word hope. Well, I hope so. Well, what you're saying is I wish. But when you have Bible hope, you have a confidence. See, faith is the substance of things you confidently expect and anticipate with joy. That's what faith gives substance to. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, Hebrews 11:1 says. Now faith is. And of course, Jeremiah 29:11, he says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. The plans, some translations say, carries with it that idea. Thoughts of good and not evil, to give you a future and a hope, some translations say. Others say an expected end. So with that, look at Ephesians chapter 1. Let's look at Paul's prayer here. So if God has a hope for the calling that's on our lives, each one of us individually, and then also I firmly believe that in every church and body and ministry that God raises up, he has an expectation for that. There's a confident expectation for the calling on Rhema Bible Church. Right? And all of our individual callings, because God's placed us here, intersect with that calling. And boy, if you get disconnected from that, amen. Now, you can leave here and go out and still be connected to it. If that's what God's called you to do, right? I mean, Man and I were, well, when I left Rhema, when we were gone for, I was gone from here for over 16 years, about 16 years, not over, I guess, just a little bit under 16 years, but I was still connected to Rhema, all right? Still doing my part, but I was doing what? Part of the mandate, part of going about, amen. So we can stay connected. Now here he says, let's start in verse 15. He says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Now look here, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Well, let's read it. That you may know what is God's confident, because it's his calling, what is God's confident expectation, what is God anticipating with joy for his divine invitation and summons on our lives. What is God expecting? He says we're to know that. To know that. Now, it's simply say, God knows it. So in order for us to find out, we're going to have to spend time with God. That's why Paul said, pray this prayer. We can pray this prayer for ourselves as much as we want, every day. If you've listened to Brother Hagin, read the way he talks about how he, for months on end, he prayed, he had his Bible open that he would kneel down and pray this prayer for himself. You can pray this prayer for any Christian. But he says he wants us to know with the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That comes from revelation, comes from God. Spirit of wisdom. I love wisdom is a great thing. It's how to apply the knowledge that we have. Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. That's not just in our spirit, that's in our thinking. Amen. That's our understanding. The eyes of that. So we know. We have a working knowledge. Now, how many of you are involved in, if you've been involved in any leadership training or business type stuff, what do they say about it? You want everybody in the business, everybody you're leading, to be able to articulate what we're doing. And simply, I found this out with me. I heard somebody say this years ago, and then I found it out with me. If I can't state it simply, I don't really understand it. God, the word know there, it means he wants us to know it inside and out. What do we mean by that? Well, I've got a watch on right here, and I know how to set the time. I know there's a stopwatch on. In fact, I just reset it back to zero. Somehow it had gotten on and clicked off a second there. Do that. There's different things on here. I know how to do those things. But there is somebody, and probably more than one person, that knows this watch. They know how to take it apart. In fact, they put it together. When they take it apart and put it back together, it works perfectly. There aren't pieces left over. Have you ever done that kind of stuff? Well, I'm going to take this apart and put it back together. Uh-oh. Didn't need that piece, I guess. No, they needed it. So what is that? That's a lack of knowledge. We ought to be able to know. We need to be able to know. He wants us to know the calling that he has on our life so that we can state it simply. And what do we know about that? I'm just thinking about this. This scripture just popped up. Write the vision, make it plain that you can run with it. Plainly state what God's called you to do, and then you're able to run with it. So there is a hope of this calling. There's a hope of this calling. The second point tonight, it is a high calling. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 3. They're probably scrambling up. There's 3 or 2. You didn't say 2. You know, while you're turning there, I'm reminded Abraham was called by God to go into a place he'd never been. God called him. Now, here's something interesting with that. Later on, it talks about it in Hebrews chapter 11. God called him to go out, and it talks about how he wandered. He was looking for a place. God said, I'll tell you when you get there, but go. And so he took off in faith to do that. But the Bible makes an interesting statement there about that. It said he was called, but it said had he been mindful of the place from which he came, he would have had opportunity to go back there. This calling on your life and my life, not just for ministry, but we're called to partake of all that Jesus, it is a leaving behind of what's past, and it is a going forth. Hope is future. So it means I'm not going to live in the past. And this calling, listen to me now, this calling on your life is not dependent on your past. Amen. I know people, they keep letting the past rise up, grab a hold of their foot every time they take off to obey God. It grabs a hold of them, and that thought comes, you can't do that. Don't you know what you did? Wait a minute. You're a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. All things are of God. The person who did that in all sense, as far as God's concerned, doesn't exist any longer. Amen. Now, does God understand? Yes, God knows all that we've ever done. But he still has a calling and a plan for our life. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean just go out and do whatever you want and you can still, no. But we have a new hope, see, a new direction. He talks about that a little bit here in Philippians 3, starting verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. What's he saying here? It doesn't matter what's in my past. All the successes, all the triumphs I had in my past, all that, and then all the failures and everything, I'm counting it as loss because something greater has been set in front of me. Amen. To win Christ. He goes on to say, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. Glory to God. Jesus said in John 17, he said, this is eternal life, that they may know you, Father, and your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. To know God is to experience that life. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained. See, this calling, it's not something that you grasp. I'm telling you, with God, once you grasp one place, it opens up and there's more ahead of you. You are never going to have arrived until that day where you can say, I have run my race. I have finished my course. But then, what's after that? Eternity. And you never arrive at the end of that. Amen. So he says, not as though I already attained, either were already perfect. But what did you do, Paul? Well, he tells us, I follow after, that I may apprehend that which I am also apprehended of in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. See, there's a reason. There's a purpose. Here just a few weeks ago, an old pastor talked about with the apostle Paul. Jesus said, I have appeared unto you for this purpose. Amen. Brethren, he says, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Well, if it worked for Paul, it'll work for us. You ready? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press on, he said. I'm pressing toward the mark. I like the English Standard Version here, verse 14 says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This calling will lift you up out of whatever you've been. It's lifting you up to a new level, to a new place. It gives us a new purpose. It's a greater purpose. It's a higher purpose. How many know the Bible says his thoughts are higher than our thoughts? His ways are higher and greater than our ways. It's lifting us up into his thinking, into his ways to fulfill this calling. It's a higher calling. It's an upward calling in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So there's a hope to this calling. It is a high calling. It is a holy calling. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Holiness doesn't just mean clean living. It includes that. But holiness means there's a weight to holiness. There's an aroma of holiness. When you start talking about the holiness of God, there's the presence of God involved in that. This holy means there's something not of this earth concerning this. It's holy. It's set aside. It's to be considered sacred. This calling, it's not something that I just flippantly say, well, someday I'll. No, it's holy. It demands my attention. There's a holiness about it. It's from God. You didn't come up with this. No person can say it to you. This is something God has done in each of our lives. 2 Timothy 1, verse 6. Wherefore I put you in remembrance, that you stir up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Now I will say this, stop here and say this. Fear is the number one thing the devil is going to use to keep us from fulfilling our calling. Well, I can't do that. Hey, we all know you can't do that. But you're not going to do it in and of yourselves, are you? You got the mighty Holy Ghost living on the inside of you. Amen. We know you. We know you're not that good. We know you didn't think that up. That had to be God. Amen. We all know that. We could all say that about ourselves. Jesus said, don't call me good. There's only one good, and that's my Father in heaven. So I know this. If it's good, it had to be God. But don't let the fear, see, fear, this works in so many areas of life, not just in spiritual things and calling. This idea of fear will keep us I have seen, I've been around, athletes all my life playing and in coaching, and it is amazing what fear will do, especially in the sport of golf. We had I played golf in college, high school and college, and that's the greatest gig there ever was, to play free golf all over the country. And then we had a team here at Rhema for a while, and I coached it and that's a wonderful deal too, going out. But you had these guys, you watch guys with great ability. And they look out there and they look at this hole, you know, and every time they hit the ball, they hit it farther than that hazard that's out there, or they hit it straighter than that. But they look out there and they get that hazard in their thinking, and all of a sudden this fear creeps up on them. And you can see it in them. Oh, that's a narrow fairway out there. Oh, you know. I think that's one thing about today's golfers. You watch them, they're fearless. They don't care if they hit it 200 yards off the fairway. They'll figure out some way. We'll just back up far enough so we can hit it on the green the next time, you know. They just go after you. The one thing great about it, you have to have a short memory. Forget the past, because you can't hit this shot again. If you are hitting that shot again, something really bad would happen to you. But they get that in their mind, and a guy that would hit the ball every time with that club, he'd hit the ball on this hole, same club, he keeps hitting the water 20 yards short of where he normally hits it. What in the world? Fear. Because in a sport like that, when fear comes, you tense up and your mind won't let your body do what it's supposed to do. All the other times, he's whack, there goes that ball. This time, it's thunk because of the tense of fear. Don't let fear, don't have anything to do with fear. Every time you have a thought of fear, get rid of it. Amen. Verse 8, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Look at verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Listen to verse 9 in the Passion Bible here. He says, he gave us resurrection life and drew us to himself by his holy calling on our lives. Listen to this. And it wasn't because of any good we have done, but by his divine pleasure and marvelous grace that confirmed our union with the anointed Jesus even before time began. See, that's why we don't have to be afraid. It's not me. I didn't bring anything into this equation. He has to do it all, so why should I be afraid of it? Amen. But notice here, he calls it a holy calling. A holy calling. That tells me this is something that God takes seriously. It's holy to him. And it should be holy to us. Paul's not using that word just flippantly. He's not just throwing that out there. He's talking about in his thinking that this is something that God. And you can imagine if you got knocked off your horse on the way to Damascus and by the shining light and the presence of Jesus, you would consider something holy. But you don't have to have an experience like that to know that it's a holy calling. All right? And then number 4, it's a heavenly calling. Excuse me. A heavenly calling. So number 1, there's a hope to this calling. Number 2, it is a high calling. Number 3, it is a holy calling. And number 4, it is a heavenly calling. Look at Hebrews chapter 3. It's of heaven. This is not something that was originated on earth. This is not something that has come from the mind of any man. It has come from the very throne of God. It is a heavenly calling. Not just calling us to heaven, but it is of heaven. That tells me this. It is of the supernatural realm. It is not of this natural realm. In fact, there's very little natural about it other than your and my obedience to walk into it. There's a supernatural aspect of this because it comes, this calling, this divine invitation, this summons to participate with God and whatever God's doing came from the very throne of God himself. The Bible says when Jesus led captivity on high, he gave gifts unto men. Right? This is something, this is part of the covenant that God cut with mankind through our Savior Jesus Christ. And he has shed his blood in order that we might have this calling in our life. Not just a calling to receive all that Jesus has done for us. Yeah, that's part of it. We are called to partake of our redemption. But we are called to participate with God. Now, what are we participating with God in? Every one of us, no matter what God's called us to do, the end game is to preach the gospel. Amen? Now, see, you say, well, you know, I'm doing, God's led me to help park cars. The end game is that the gospel gets preached. Everybody you help find, everybody you keep safe walking back and forth across the road gets to hear the gospel, gets to find out more about what God's called them to do. You know, almost every Sunday morning in here, somebody comes to know the Lord, don't they? How many of you know the part, everybody in the place, no matter what you were doing, if you're partaking of your calling, or during the week you prayed for this, whatever it is God's got you doing, it's that the gospel gets preached. Now here in Hebrews 3, verse 1, wherefore, holy brethren, tell your neighbor, he's talking to you. See, he considers us holy. Partakers of the heavenly calling. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ, a partaker, a participant, partaking of it. Now, none of us probably do this, but you can imagine that if someone prepared your favorite meal and sat it down in front of you, you're not going to just sit there and look at it, are you? You're going to do what? Partake. Right? It could be your favorite food. It could be everything you love to eat. But as long as you do nothing, there's not going to be any benefit to it. There's not going to be any enjoyment of it. This calling, not only is it going, you should enjoy it. It's from God. It's a heavenly calling. Woo! It causes me and it causes you to step out of this natural limitations that we have over into the heavenly ability that comes from God by His Spirit. It's of heaven. Jesus said, they said, teach us to pray. He said, pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, there's a greater thing. All of us, you know, have great abilities. All of us have things. Listen, every one of you in here has a greater ability in something than I do. I'll guarantee you. In that way, you could say you have strengths that I don't have. Spiritually let's talk about naturally. Okay? But we're not limited. We're not limited to these natural things that we can do because this is something that comes from heaven. And I want you to know this, God has invested everything you will ever need to fulfill your calling. Now what's he get us? The Bible says he's given us gifts. He's given us gifts to fulfill that call. What are those gifts? Well, the word from the Greek is, we get the word charisma from it. It means an endowment of God's grace, God's ability, God's power. I'm not supposed to do this in and of myself. It's from heaven, so I'd need heavenly resources to fulfill it. Amen. And when I look and I partake of those heavenly resources, it causes all the natural resources I need to come my way. Amen. Now you're not going to have, I know God rained manna down from heaven, but he's not raining Benjamins down from heaven. All right. If you have any money coming down from heaven, you see it's coming out of the sky. That's probably not yours. You know, this isn't like when the armored truck had a wreck and the back door flew open and all the money flew out and everybody started grabbing money. Say, look what God's done for me. No, God didn't do that. Amen. What's he going to do? You know, he's not counterfeiting money or anything like that. But he is already, because this is how grace operates, grace works ahead of time to meet the need. He's already provided everything that we need here. And when we step over into our heavenly calling, it causes that to be attracted to us. Now, we have an enemy, right? That's why Brother Hagin said the Lord taught him. He's out obeying God and it's not working. Financially, he's failing. He said, God, he said, that's not working. He said, now, I know you told me this. He said, but I'm going back to pastor. This isn't working. He started actually looking for, and God told him, he said, well, you know, you don't qualify right now for what. He said, what do you mean I'm obeying you? He said, the best you can, I know you are. But the Bible said, be willing and obedient to the good of the land. Brother Hagin said, it doesn't take time at all to get willing. He said, I got willing immediately. But then the Lord told him, say, look, everything you need is already there. Tell Satan to take, he said, claim what you need, thank me for it, tell Satan to take his hands off it, then send the angels out to bring it in. Why? It's heavenly. It's heavenly. That's dealing with it from the heavenly perspective. This is not a natural thing. This is a supernatural thing that all of us have. Let's look at just a couple other scriptures here before we quit tonight. Look at Romans chapter 1. Paul made some interesting statements in his greetings to people as he would. Romans 1:7. He said, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Called to be saints or called saints. You see, we've got a divine invitation from God, a summons from God. Now listen to me, to sainthood. I used to think a saint was someone who lived so long ago that no one could remember anything they'd done wrong. So they called him a saint, you know. Because I got to think, surely everybody made mistakes. But no, we are saints. What does that mean? Separated unto God. Look at 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2. I'm going to read this quick because I want to get to the last one to end with that. He says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Called to be saints. Now look at 2 Peter 1:10. We'll end with this tonight. 2 Peter 1:10. Everybody say, I have a calling from God. There's a hope. It's a high calling. It's a holy calling. It's a heavenly calling. And it's on me. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, talking to all of us, all the saints of God here, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never, 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 now I'm adding those, but never, never fall. Walking in our calling. We're elected of God and we're called of God. When we learn to walk in it. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. As we just introduce these things and from your word, oh Father, as we hear your word, our spirit leaps within us and rises up and takes hold of the word that we hear from you. And it causes faith to rise up and to be formed in us. And Father, I just pray tonight that this word that we've heard will rise up and live big within each one of us. And it would cause us to be renewed in our mind and in our thinking. That this is who we are. We are called. We have been given a divine summons from you, an invitation to participate with you, each and every one of us. And I pray, Father, that each one would know individually what their calling is. And to see how that calling is not a calling that is isolated, but it's intertwined with the people that you've put us together with, and for the entire body of Christ together, but then those parts of the body that you've placed us in as it has pleased you. We thank you, Father, that we are called. Father, we thank you here for the calling and that's upon Rhema Bible Church, upon our pastors, and all of us as we partake and do our part of that calling. I thank you, Father God, that heaven itself is moved on our behalf to cause, to come to pass all that you have planned. And we look to you, Father. We look to you. Give us wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. Let the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, that we might know what is your confident expectation and the anticipation of your joyful summons upon our life. And Father, we'll be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, isn't God's word good? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Brother Bill, did we have first-time guests tonight? We did. If our connection team would go right now and help our first-time guests go receive that gift from Pastor and Mrs. Hagen and on behalf of Rhema Bible Church, let's give them a big hand clap again tonight. Thank you for being here. Come on back Sunday morning. Pastor Hagen will be here. You'll want to hear our pastor, minister. And so come on back and be with him. All right. Let's all stand together. If you need prayer for anything, our prayer teams are down here. Men on my left, ladies on my right. Come down, ladies to the ladies, men to the men. Pray with them. They're going to pray with you according to the word of God. Amen. Praise God. Sign up for the call to arms is out in the north lobby. If you are ready to do that, want to do that, go ahead and get that done. Ladies, get your husbands signed up. They need to be there. Okay. And it's going to be great. I know I was talking to one of the speakers today. They're so excited to be here. Got a great lineup this year, I think, as we do every year, but it's going to be good again this year. All right. Everything being good. Don't forget the visitation tomorrow for Chuck. And then the service at noon on Friday, right here in the chapel, Chuck Deardorff, okay? God bless you. Tell somebody that you love them in the Lord before you go tonight, and you can be dismissed.